You've got your Bibles. Let's get over in the book of Revelation. And Brother Glenn was telling me the other day, he said that Brother Delmer said that he really received strength and he heard the word preached, and said he thought it was the greatest he ever heard in his life, that it really helped him. And Glenn himself said that during the time he was here, that he really got strength. He said, I had really searched, I've been studying and searching, diligently looking, and trying to get some answers to some scriptures. And said, while the preaching was taking place, he said, Brother Pike, he said, all those things that I've been searching and asking about and trying my very diligence to understand, said, they just opened up to me. And he said, I just carried away. Said, because it just opened up so plain and so quickly. And said, I was so thrilled because I'd searched so diligently. Said, looked like I couldn't find the answer to it. So he said, it really helped him. The book of Revelation, if you've got your Bibles, you know, we come to the house of God to learn about Jesus, to learn the wonderful things of God. Let's just read some scripture tonight if we can. In the book of Revelation, we keep referring back to the 10th chapter. There's about three chapters here that kind of run together. The 10th chapter, the 12th chapter, and the 13th chapter. But let's just read a little here. I'm going to ask Brother Taylor to come and read this, if he will. And I want him to take his time and read till I tell him to stop. And I want you to listen real close as he reads. In the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation, beginning at the first verse to begin with, Brother Taylor.
And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and sware by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples, and nations, and tongues, and kings. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees, and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. In the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. And the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings, and voices, and thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
I want to read quite a bit of that tonight. Following the 12th chapter, when it's finished, find immediately at the first verse of the 13th chapter, immediately, if you read on, you find out that right after the woman was cast out of heaven, or rather the dragon, the woman not being cast out, but rather driven into the wilderness, right after that, you find out that the beast was personified. The dragon took on a personification and became a beast. Now, you know, when you think about this, there is a lot in it. There's so much in it that you find yourself night after night, day after day, year after year, preaching sermon after sermon. I think they've got over 1,000 sermons, maybe, that we've already preached. They've got that many on tape. I don't know how many hundreds of sermons that we've preached that's never been put on tape. But I think they got that many on tape. And quite a number of them that has to do with the revelation of the Lord Jesus. But you know, when I think about the Skylab falling today, it really thrills my heart. As I say, not because the Skylab fell, but because in seeing where it fell and the thing that took place, it fits so beautifully. You know, when you think of the Indian, you go back to your red man. When you think about the name there and you think about the ocean, you go back to the bottomless pit. And he said, though thou makest thy nest. And I think that thing was about a three-room, maybe a trinity flying around up there. And though thou makest thy nest among the stars, from thence I shall cast thee down to the bottomless pit, or down to hell. You know, when you put it all together, God makes it fall just exactly in the right place. He makes it turn out just exactly right to the T. In other words, what would fit the type better than to cast the Trinity out, or whether Trinity or not, to cast out the Skylab, the nest among the stars, and cast it down into the bottomless pit, that is, down into the ocean, cast it down, and especially in, as we would say, the Indian Ocean or whatever, Indian Ocean, you know, cast it down into the spot that would represent that which would be hell, or the red man, you know, the place of the bottomless pit. Amen. What would be a greater type than that? And by it going into the place it went to, it is a positive proof. It is a positive proof that it is just precisely on time. Amen. That is the revelation. Amen. The revelation that we've been watching by the Skylab falling today and in the middle of the week, and the thing happening the way that it's happened, it positively proves that the revelation that we've been watching is perfectly to the T on time. And I am again thrilled to know that not only has God allowed me to see it, but allowed me to see it proportionally speaking, following step after step, until He has made it to be just precisely right on time for each step.
And this camp meeting being just exactly as we understood it to be in the mind of God, the Skylab falling, right at the end of the camp meeting, right down to the T, and then falling in the place it fell, it just makes it perfectly in order for what we have said, just to the T. So then you can see that right here in the Scriptures, we can see in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, how that the woman that was so great with child, all of a sudden, that woman standing on the moon, referring back to America, the red dragon laying in there the way that it was. I say, Brother Pike, you said that the red dragon was communism. How is it then that you associate communism with the Skylab, if it be the red dragon being cast out? The way that we associate it with that is the fact that though communism be a derivative of Russia or of China, yet you remember that all of a sudden here comes the friendship of Russia and China, and especially China, right into America, and the communistic flag went right up, which put the dragon right there where the woman was, laying right in there to devour her leadership, because that's what it was here for, to devour the child that we spoke of Jimmy Carter having to do with that. See, and so that brings communism in connection with the Skylab, which makes America that part of the communism. So then to get communism out from up there, or the red dragon, is to get America out from up there, if you understand that part that has to do with America at this moment. Amen. So then, maybe you don't understand what I'm saying, but I understand what I'm saying. And the communistic part of it is that our nation is now noted as the Red Dragon, the communistic part. But you say, Brother Pike, but it couldn't be the woman in travail and still be the communistic part. I know that. I realize that. But see, it can be that the child is caught up to the throne and the woman went into the wilderness and communists took over. It can be that. See, because it was the government. But if you remember, we had a little paper that we signed around here a few days ago. So that changes the entire picture altogether. See, so it makes it just right for God to do what He's doing. All right, so then we see just before this great thing took place, our flag went up, and just before Revelation 12 is recorded, if you'll notice real close, it says, and the seventh angel sounded. This is the thing that we really need to get into our heart, is that the 15th verse of the 11th chapter, which follows closely after the 10th chapter of the thunders. Immediately in the 15th verse now, and the seventh angel sounded. That's why I had him to read all three of these. Here it says in the 10th chapter, but in the days of the voice, this is in the 7th verse of the 10th chapter, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. All right, now John was about to write the thunders. Said, you see that you write it not, John, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Immediately in the 15th verse of the following chapter, and the seventh angel sounded. Now let's tie that together real good so we understand what we're saying. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that the times of the Gentiles are over, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants the prophets. In the 15th verse of the 11th chapter, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. All right, now, you can see here, not adding anything to the Scripture, not taking away anything. We only spoke, we wasn't adding to the Scripture here. The Scripture here definitely states that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God shall be finished. It says, and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Whereas I associated that with this camp meeting and what we said about the days of the Gentiles being at an end, bringing it on over past the two prophets. Now notice this. When this is stated, immediately the two prophets are spoken of. That is to come on the scene. Just as quick as something is said here concerning the end time, concerning the closing of the days of the Gentiles, just as quick as something is said concerning this, and the thunders give their voices, just as quick as the mystery of God is declared to be finished, just as quick as the book is taken by John, John being typical of the church, just as quick as he eats the entire book. That is, the eating of the entire book is what denoted the finishing of the mysteries. Amen. See, as long as the entire book is not an expose, as long as the entire book has not been eaten, as long as the entire book has not been swallowed up, then the mysteries cannot be finished because the entirety of the book hasn't been made known. But just as quick as John takes the book, notice this now. It said, and he had in his right hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. Now, he had one on the in the spirit, as we say, and one on in the natural. See, in other words, it was a breach over where what which makes us to know that this great angelic move was something that was connected with the natural man. And something that was connected with the spiritual man. It reminds me of Brother Delmer's vision that he saw concerning the water and the land. Here it is the same thing in the same picture, the same setting, and with one foot on the land, one foot on the sea, swearing by him, that is God, that things should be no longer, time should be at an end. Whereas the angel said to him that he was to go forth and take the little book. Now, here, in going forth and taking the little book. Now, let's look at it for just a minute. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. One thing that we want to notice in this, in the writings of this, if I could talk to you tonight, can I talk to you just a few minutes tonight? All right, now, one thing we want to notice in this is that he said, I saw an angel come down from heaven. Another mighty angel come down from heaven. He did not say, I saw another angel in heaven. There is a world of difference in the expressions that John uses here. When it comes to looking where he saw the woman with her foot on the moon, and when he saw these other angels, he saw one of them standing in the sun. But not so with this angel. He said, I saw another mighty angel that came down from heaven. So then here, when we think of something coming down from heaven, that means that that angel had to go somewhere if it left heaven or come down from heaven. Isn't that right? That makes it more relative to you and I. It came down from heaven. Now, if he said, I saw another one in the heaven, it would be different. But if he said it came down from heaven, then it makes it more relative to you and I, and it makes it a lot easier for me to understand how that he could have one foot on the land and one on the sea. See, he would have to come down from heaven to be able to stand with one foot on the land and one on the sea, because the land and the sea is not in heaven. How many of you understand what I'm saying? See, the land and the sea is not in heaven. For him to set one foot on the land and one foot on the sea, then he has to come down from heaven. So John said, I saw this mighty angel as he came down from heaven. But even though he came down from heaven, I still saw him clothed with a cloud. I saw a rainbow about his head, whereas that would not be so unusual in the sense that we know that in this present world we can see a rainbow. Right here in this present world we see. We look out here at the fountain sometimes. If the sun is hitting it just right on this earth right here, we see the rainbow. And we're made to know that the rainbow has to do with the earth, in that if the rainbow is a curvature, it's because the earth has a curvature. And that it has to do with the earth. That the covenant has to do with the body. That is the natural part of it. Because the covenant that God made with Noah was not with the heavens, but rather the heavens making a covenant with the earth. With the earth, it was God, the heavenly part, which was the rainbow, making a covenant with the earth. Which to me means that it had to do with the church ages. And from the time of the beginning of the church ages all the way over to the revelation of Jesus Christ, that those seven angelic beings are seven spirits before the throne of God, that this is the rainbow that reaches over from the beginning of Pentecost all the way over the church ages, the seven church ages, those beautiful, radiant blessings of God manifested the attributes of God in the seven angelic beings, that angelic thing over the Ark of the Covenant that is taking care of you and I. That is over the angel of Revelation 10, which has to do with Jesus Christ, the Ark of Noah hanging there upon Calvary, the covenant over his head. That is from Pentecost, Christ being on the inside of our heart, and our bodies being the body of Jesus Christ, no longer our own bodies, but the body of Jesus Christ, that from Pentecost all the way over, this great covenant is over, or watching over, or made with the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which has to do with the redemption, that from one end of the rainbow over to the other end of the rainbow, it signifies God's never-ending covenant. That they are tied together, one foot on the land and one foot on the sea. Well, that is to say, one foot in the spirit and one foot in the natural. So then God, or Christ, is the breach between my spirit and my body. The middle wall of partition has been torn out, but Christ, the great covenant, the great promise of God, is standing between me, my body, and my spirit, and that great covenant is what holds me together. That is what makes me know that though the distance be great between the two, yet they are one in the same. They are one in the same. The rainbow, as we say, is not a half a rainbow. A woman gets one ring and then she gets another ring. But really the rainbow is all the way around the earth. It's all the way around the earth because it is a full covenant. But God shows it to us in part so that you and I will know that half of the covenant is with Him, half of the covenant is with us. We have half of the covenant, He has half of the covenant, and it so beautifully fits together when it comes to God, the rainbow round about the throne. It's so lovely to know that this angel that came down from heaven had to do with our Lord and Savior Himself. Coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. Whereas in Thessalonians we are told that we, at the sounding of the last trumpet, we who remain and are alive shall be quickened by the Spirit, changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, caught up into the air. And the Bible said not only caught up into the air, but into the cloud with Christ. We are caught up into the air and into the cloud, so shall we ever be with the Lord. See, but there is a spiritual processing of it, in that our inner man must be caught up into the spiritual part of it, into the clouds of witnesses, among that baptized into the body by the membership through the Spirit. We are caught up into this great, wonderful spiritual cloud. Now, you know, we use this term a lot of times, that You know, the sun comes out over a body of water. It begins to heat it up. And then it vaporizes. It goes up into a vapor. It gets up here into the cold atmosphere. It's condensed. The wind blows it over to dry ground. The weather conditions change. And down the water comes again. So then, you've heard the old saying, we referred to it, I'll cloud up and rain all over you. Well, see, a Christian really does. He'll cloud up and rain all over you. Jesus said that in the time of the latter rain, that if we pray, God would make bright clouds. Isn't that right? So then there are those dark clouds and there are those bright clouds. Dark clouds represents trouble. When you see dark clouds, it represents fallen angels, angels of darkness. When you say darkness, it means those that have been cut out of the mind of Christ, that have cut themselves off from the things of God. When you see light clouds, it means clouds that are still illuminated by the Shekinah of God. For the dark clouds means that which the sunlight cannot penetrate. But light clouds means that which the sun is penetrating. So then in the heaven, there's two kinds of clouds between heaven and earth, as we say. In that, there is a battle between those clouds. Those clouds, in those clouds, there is a continual clash between those clouds. Now, that's why that there is a fight between the Christian and those people out there. You see this in your racial problem between your black man and your white man. You see this racial clash because it shows this thing in types and shadows. But that's only a type of it. Because your real clash is those that are Christians and those that are sinners. All that are Christians, whether red man, black man, white man, are all bright clouds. Those that are sinners, whether white man, black man, or red man, are all dark clouds. And there is a continual warfare between those people. But see, God using the natural to type it out, to show us all of it, and show us what's happening. Then God gives us people to represent different parts of things. Now, whereas that doesn't cause any problem, because those people in the world, they don't know what I'm talking about here. They can't learn these things in college and in school, so they don't know anything about that. They just go on together having their big time. But here in the church, we who are sons and daughters of God, whether black men or white men or red men or Japanese, Chinese, whatever, we are the sons of God. We've got the mind of God. And we're set for the redemption of the body, knowing that white man, red man, black man, all flesh is corrupted its way before God. And there is but one thing that God receives, and that's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're born of His bone, flesh of His flesh, then we're saved. If we're not, then we're lost regardless to what we are. We're corruptible flesh. All have sinned, gone astray. God has laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. This is what caused the thunders. This is where your thunders came from. This is why John saw the mystery. See, we use the terms thunderheads. Somebody says there's a great thunderhead in the elements. Well, you know, a head does a little talking, isn't that right? If it's got a head, it's got a mouth somewhere. And after a while, you'll hear a rumble out of it. The Bible said, and the thunders uttered their voices. So then those thunderheads, those clouds in the heavens, had to come together. There was a clash out of them. They had to come together. This is where John got the thunders from. All of a sudden, from somewhere, seven thunders uttered their voices. Well, you know that thunder doesn't just utter its voice. There has to be some reason for that thunder to utter its voice. There has to be something to cause that thunder. And we know that the thing that causes the thunder is those dark clouds and light clouds. When they come together, those cold and hot clouds as we refer to them, when they come together, it's going to cause a friction. You know, the world is cold, isn't that right? But the church is heated up with the fervency of God. And they just don't mix. Darkness and light just won't mix. They're coming together. It's going to be a clash. As long as they're coming together, there's going to be thunderheads. And there's going to be a battle. Now notice this. It is immediately after that the seven thunders utter their voices. Immediately after this. That the Bible says the great wonder took place in heaven. Now, are you following me? I know that some of you understand what I'm saying. But when you see a storm, when you see a great storm in the elements, what does this have to do with? What does it represent? Why is there a great storm in heaven? What does it represent? When you see the clouds coming together, you see the wrestling between the clouds, you see the thunderheads bumping together, you see the friction, you see the lightning cut down across the clouds, and you see all of these things take place, then the billows of wind begin to blow. See, all of a sudden a great outburst because there's a storm that's taking place. As a matter of fact, I believe right at this present moment, I understand that down in Louisiana they got a hurricane going on that's got wind 75 miles an hour, which is terrible. 75 mile an hour wind will just take a house slab off the hills. But this represents a war in heaven. See, it represents war in heaven. When there is thunderings, when there is lightnings, when all of this begins to take place, it means that there is war in heaven. War is going on. That's what Revelation 12 says. The thunders took place. And immediately as the thunders took place, this angel said, time shall be no more. And somebody said, look, there's war in heaven. What is it? The thunder clouds. The thunderheads coming together. War in heaven. All of a sudden, all of this happened here at one time. Somebody said, time shall be no more. All of a sudden, war in heaven, and thunders uttered their voices. See, in other words, somebody was watching. They saw this great thing. And I'm just putting it in words so where we can understand it. You know, somebody screamed out, war in heaven. The red dragon's been cast out. Out comes the Skylab. Out comes the red dragon. How do you understand what I'm saying? You say, Brother Pike, what's the Skylab got to do with the red dragon? Because it represents blood life. Blood life is corruptible life. That's what started the problem. God is a spirit. God looks to spiritual life. Blood life is corruptible. See? So then, the end of blood life in the presence of God, the days of the Gentiles being over, and the door being closed, because the door is between heaven and earth. Amen. The blood coming off of the atonement seat. Everything is right here, the 4th of July, the fireworks falling. Amen. Oh, you say, well, I don't believe that. You just hold on real tight and see if it don't happen. Brother, the 4th of July represents that Declaration of Independence and the fireworks falling. Russia's got her missiles trained on America. And that vision I had the other night with the city blowing up, there is something in the makings. There is something that's going on. Even scientists, as I tried to relate to you the other night, knows that everything is in a scramble. I saw the church the other night. As God began to move, I saw it swell up. You know, scientists say that the sun is a little star brought out the other night. It'll swell up. And then, when it swells up, all of the nearby planets that's orbiting around it, maybe Mercury and those that are close in, that it'll swallow them up. That'll make it enlarge itself. Are you following me now? How many of you know the theory of science? Maybe one of these nights, if we get a chance, I'd love to go back and pick up the theory of science and try to explain a little bit about what I'm saying. But anyway, you know, the Skylab falling today, the red dragon, scientific understanding, the old mind of the dragon that started with human intelligence back in the garden, the tree of knowledge that caused all the trouble. That great scientific mind, science, falsely so called, Paul said. And the word science means knowledge. Look it up and you'll find out that's what it means. When you say knowledge, what are you talking about? The tree of knowledge. back in the garden that caused the problems. Though thou climbest up to heaven, the red dragon, a generation of vipers, that old lifeline, that human bloodline, that corruptible part that's corrupted the earth, the beast part, that thing that we speak of being cast out of the presence of God. See, today we see it in its typical thing, being cast out, coming down to the bottomless pit. Is that right?
That's right.
Going down, just like the Bible said. Over there when John spoke of it, said, and I saw her as a millstone. And he took up a millstone and he cast it into the ocean. And the great whore went down into the deep of the ocean to show that the pit was the doom of that which was ungodly in God's sight. And we see that thing landing into the ocean, going down, as we say, into the pit. Scientists, the end of it being put down right here at the time of what we refer to as the great millennium coming in. To us, the great millennium coming in. That little tribulation period that lays in there between that, between the rapture of the church and between the establishing of the 1,000 years millennium reign. That little spell of government, just 7 years of it laying in there. Just 7 years laying in there in between the end, the catching away of the church, and then the coming back in Revelation 19 on the white horses for the millennium to bind Satan 1,000 years to put him in the bottomless pit. During the time of that, John said, and I saw a millstone. And the millstone was taken by the angel and thrown down into the sea. And the voice said, so shall that great whore, Babylon the Great, fall. So shall Babylon the Great be cast down, John said. And what is Babylon? It's that confused system of America. She's gone Babylon. She's gone Catholic. She's gone to communism. She's got to where nobody can understand her laws anymore. I don't understand her laws. Nobody understands her laws. Years ago, you could understand the laws of America. But nobody understands the laws of America anymore. She's one big wilderness. She don't even understand her laws anymore. And really, it's not beloved America anymore. Because that woman has been driven into the wilderness. That government that was established has been driven into a wilderness. In seeing this great, wonderful, spiritual thing take place, the red dragon being cast out, the Trinity between heaven and earth being broke up. For God is not a Trinity. I know there's people that say, well, God's a Trinity, the Holy Trinity. God isn't a Trinity. God never has been a Trinity. God never will be a Trinity. God is one God, not a Trinity. God has never been a Trinity. I don't know where they ever got that. There's no such teaching, no such wording in the Bible. Now then, God is but one. Now, you look at me. Am I a Trinity? Absolutely not. A man would have to be out of his mind to look at me and say, well, Brother Pike, you're a Trinity. Now I know that I'm made in the likeness of God. If God's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I'm body, soul, and spirit. I'm just as much Trinity as He's Trinity. And I'm no Trinity. I'm just one person. God's just one God.
Amen.
So then the dissecting of God at Calvary was for one purpose. And that is to let us study the different parts of God. You look at a motor in an automobile. A motor is not a Trinity. It's just one motor. There may be many parts to it. But it's just one motor. That's all. And if you take it apart and put it in different sections, you're doing that so that you can catalog it in your mind, understand it. But you're not going to leave it in that big a mess. If you take it all apart and leave it there, what good is the motor going to do you? If you take my soul out, my body away from my spirit, what good am I? The Bible says the body without the spirit is dead. So then, when you say Trinity, you're talking about a dead God. You're talking about one they nailed to Calvary. You're talking about something that split all to pieces. Something that can't help anybody. That's why the devil holds up the Trinity like he does. That's why people are always talking about the Trinity. The Holy Trinity Church, they call it. It's the intellectual reasoning of Satan to keep Jesus dead. To keep God dead. That's what it's all about. To keep him dead. As long as he's like that, you'll never accept Jesus as being God. He's the dead God. He can't help you. All you're going to have is education and houses and eating and drinking and frolic and football and baseball and all the things of the world. But when you put him back together and you get him in your mind as God, he is God. He is not a dead God. He is a resurrected God. He is God of the resurrection. He said, I'm not God of the dead. I'm God of the living. How could a dead God be the God of the living? It takes a living God to be the God of the living. Is that right? All right. Now, I guess I'm getting a little excited again. But anyway, it says that he came down from heaven. Can you listen just a little bit more? You know, there just ain't enough time. Even if you eliminate the saint and everything else, there just ain't enough time to preach a sermon. And how have you got time to pay a little attention? If you ain't, I'll quit right here. I'll quit. It is a true fact that we can have popcorn sermons, or we can get into the mind of God and the Word of God and learn something about Jesus Christ. I mean, we can do either way we want to. I've chosen in my lifetime to spend my time with God, and it took some hours to get into this. And I say again, you ain't going to get it through popcorn sermons. Now, you're going to have to settle down and want to learn. Look and learn. Now then, this angel came down from heaven. See, when you get restless and you get ready to go, then I get to hurry and I get to pushing. I get my natural mind in the way of the anointing, and we might as well dismiss because it's no more good. It's just procrastinating, that's all. Trying to wait until I can get your spirit back. But if you settle down, you got time to say, well, where am I going anyway? The only place I'm going to go is feed my belly or go ride my belly around or put my belly to bed. So I can get a little sleep and get up in the morning to work so I can get some money to feed my belly some more and make my belly convenient. If that be so, all of our labors for our belly, because our belly desires it or requires it of us, why not settle down and say to the old serpent that's caught up in there, you know them guts that wants to swallow everything down, say, brother, or say not brother, but just say to the belly, you be quiet. And say to the brother close by, you just be patient, because we're going to listen to Christ Jesus. Now, this thing is at an end, folks. You need to listen. All right. Here, the seventh angel. Now, let's run over it again. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet. Revelation 10, the mighty angel. They come down with the rainbow over his head. The cloud, clothed with the cloud. His garment was a cloud. His feet, like pillars of fire. Here he is. The same condition of the woman, to some extent. The same condition of Jesus in the midst of the candlesticks. The same thing, all showing the same thing. The seventh angel, 15th verse, 11th chapter, the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now, I know that this is hard to get over. It's really hard when you're hoarse. But this is hard to get over. But brothers and sisters, in this very camp meeting right here, this very thing has been shown in this July effort called camp meeting. Immediately after this camp meeting, here comes the Skylab falling out of heaven. Why did it fall right after this meeting? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pye, you know, it just happened like that. I don't believe that. Maybe you believe that, but I don't believe that. Why didn't it fall just before the camp meeting? Why did it fall 6 months after the camp meeting? That thing's been up for a long time. Why didn't it fall way before the camp meeting? Why didn't it fall somewhere outside where it fell? Why is it that all of these things so beautifully fit together? Because it is the mind of God unveiling itself. It is God's mind that ordained it. It is God's mind that ordained that that thing be in the heaven. It is God's mind that ordained that it go up at the very moment. So that it would fall out at the very moment that it was ordained to fall out at. Even the speculations. Even the timing of it. When they said it would fall. It all fits Calvary perfectly. Amen. Go back and check the timing of Calvary. And go back and check and see what John saw in the book of Revelation. Knowing that he saw Calvary unveil itself, which was the revelation of Jesus Christ. And see if the skylab, the middle of the week, the time, the falling, everything is perfectly in line with what took place. Everything. So then, Revelation 10, the thunders. Here they are, coming together. The thunderheads are bumping together. Bumping together. The lightning, the friction. What is it? The angel has come down. He set his foot on the land and on the sea. The angel isn't in heaven. John didn't see the angel in heaven. He didn't say the angel was in heaven. I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, he said. And he set his foot on the land and on the sea, raised his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, that time should be no more. I saw this. He had a rainbow about his head. The Bible said he was clothed with the sun. His feet was like pillars of fire. That is, he was clothed with a cloud, the illuminated thing, as the woman was. I saw this come down from heaven. And I saw this thing take place. Now he said, and then when I saw this thing come down, and that angel said, now John represented the church. You say, why do you say, Brother Pike, that it represents the church? Because he said to John, John, you must go back and prophesy before many people. Isn't that right? Many kings, many great rulers. Tell me, where did John ever do that? Show me in the Bible, or show me in history where he ever done that. It had to do with the spiritual thing that God was doing. See, it had to do with the church. Then the sounding of the seventh angel. When I made the statement many years ago that the spirit of John the Revelator, the revelation of Jesus Christ, would come back into the church, and the voice to many kings and many rulers, that the spirit of John would come back. For when he said, when the seventh angel sounds, whose spirit was it that God had sealed up the thunders in? It was the spirit of John the Revelator. John is the one that heard it. John is the one that saw it. It doesn't say anybody else heard it and saw it other than John when it comes to natural men. Isn't that right? It doesn't say that any other living person heard it or saw it. But John heard it and saw it and understood it to that extent. Now you say, how can you prove that? Because he said, I was about to write. He would not have been about to write if he had not understood that voice. It's evident that as he started to write, the voice of God said, John, see that you write it not, seal it up. But in the days of the voice, John, for ye shall witness to kings and great rulers, many people, John. And in the days of the voice, what kind of voice? In the days of the voice of the revelation, John. Amen. I know you don't understand what I'm saying. Praise God. There was a voice. Hallelujah. A voice had been given. And he said in the 10th chapter, in the days of the voice, the mystery of God should be finished. There is but one voice that's indicated here. That is the voice of John. For who wrote the revelation of Jesus Christ? You read it at the beginning of the book. Read it over there at the beginning of the book. And you see what I'm saying. It says the revelation of Jesus Christ. What kind of voice is this? The revelation of Jesus Christ. But you say, Brother Pine, that wasn't the voice of the revelation. Then what am I reading? I'm reading from the book of Revelation. You say, but that was the voice of the angel. But the Bible said the revelation of Jesus Christ. That was one angel that was in the move of the revelation of Jesus Christ. But the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. That was the one that had it. It was John. Now then, why is John listed as the last part of the Bible? Because John is that beloved disciple that leaned over on the breast of Jesus. Love fulfills the law. God is love. He was that symbol of the Spirit of God which is in the church. That which has the understanding of God, the mind of God, the revelation of God. And so he says here in the 10th chapter, John, you eat the whole book. Take the whole book and it'll be bitter to that old coiled up serpent laying down in your belly. It'll be bitter to him because it's death to him. Because all the labor of the world is for that old serpent that's coiled up in there. Because he savors the things that be of the flesh. All the labor's for the belly because the serpent's in the belly. That's where it all started. Look up there and see. The first thing that God said, don't eat thereof. All of your labor is to eat thereof. Because the old serpent is in there calling for it. So then, he said it would be bitter to the belly because it's going to kill the belly. It's going to kill the old man. Reckon this old outer man to be dead. That generation of vipers, that bloodline, that beast life, that outside part. Reckon it to be dead by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ because I smote it at Calvary. Amen. That Calvary is that brazen serpent that hang in the wilderness. There it is. I smote it at Calvary. Look in this direction and everybody that looks on that serpent will know that the serpents that have been biting you, that they are dead. That they are dead. A brazen serpent can't bite. That they are dead. That they're gone. That I overcome sin for you. That I, being made the chief of sinners, I who knew no sin, was made sin. I was made the chief of the serpents as far as being smitten of God. Being made the first man, Adam, in the flesh, I come as an atonement that all the other evil spirits, the other serpents, could never bite you again. If you looked in this direction, they're all swallowed up with Moses' rod. The magician throwed it down and they become a serpent, and he throwed his down and it become a serpent that swallowed all the others up. In that, all of them were found to be swallowed up. In Christ, all evil is swallowed up. And God hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And we were bruised, or he was bruised for our transgression. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon his back by his stripes. I'm healed today. I was under the curse, but cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. And they hung him upon a tree to become a curse, that I would be free from the curse of today. So the thunderheads. Look at the thunderheads. They come together. And there was a war. John said, and I heard seven thunders utter their voices. Now, you know, when John heard many of those thunders, many of those things that took place, brothers and sisters, it wasn't the kind of thunder that you and I are used to. But John heard some atomic powers exploding. He heard the explosion of the great atomic forces. That was some of the thunders that he heard. The lightning that John saw wasn't just lightning from friction across the heavens, but John saw the great flash of those great bombs as they blow up the earth. That was the lightnings that John saw. And I saw the lightning, he said, and the thunder rolled, and the earth shook, John said. In other words, he saw it going into a convulsion. He saw them hurling these bombs, and he saw that lightning flash of those great atomic powers fulfilling what Peter said, the elements being on fire, in that those bombs are derivative from the elements, made out of the elements. And I saw the earth rock and reel like a drunk man. You know, they've learned that the earth is separated in sections. It's already separated in sections, and they found out that these sectional parts at one time belonged to each other. That it was just one round earth. But that something caused them to separate. And already they're learning that they're moving back toward each other. Coming back to part. Or coming back together. Not being in part anymore. That which is in part shall be done away with. That down in South America, the islands, the different places that we went to. What is that down there? All of those islands that are in part are to come back together. They've got to come back together. Because the Bible said, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. And God's going to swallow the whole thing up. And they're already moving toward each other. Now, so then we see the great thunderhead. We see the war that John spoke of. The war in heaven. This thing is not an earthly war. You know, years ago, when you had a war, you just take up a sword and you go out and fight a battle. Run a man through with your sword, like David fought so hard that his hand clave to the sword. Run through a troop, leap over a wall. But see, this battle isn't going to be fought on the earth. This battle is the war of the heavenlies. It's atomic powers. It's that which they've latched on to the elements of the heavens. The reason for this is because Satan is the ruler or the prince of the powers that is in the air. And the only way to get him out from up there is to set those heavens on fire. And when God does that, he's going to get Satan out from up there. Satan is between heaven and earth. And I know that when we say that, we think naturally. But see, God is heaven. God is a spirit. Man is the earth. Is that right? But Satan is in between God and man. Satan is in that old intellectual realm. He's in the soul realm. He's in that human reasoning realm. To be carnally minded is death. And that realm is between God, the great eternal spirit, and the redemption of your body. And your body, which is that earth that needs to be renewed and brought into the new earth. That body is full of briars. It's full of cancer. It's full of sickness. It's full of sufferings because that middle wall of partition, that accuser of the brethren, is standing in there between heaven and earth, accusing, always accusing you. You know, you said the devil don't ever stop talking to you. Day and night he talks to you. He's always accusing you. Always finding fault. Always accusing your brother. Always accusing the preacher. Always accusing your fellow man. Always accusing. Always. But look what it said. When the seventh angel sounded, that stopped. When the seventh angel sounded, the 15th chapter, he says in the 10th chapter, and in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Then in the 11th chapter, and the seventh angel sounded, the Bible said. The 10th chapter, and in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Remember, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Each angel sounded. One sounded. Then another sounded. Then another sounded. One, two, three, four, five. Right down the line they sounded. Notice it. The first angel sounded. There followed hail, fire mingled with blood, which cast upon the earth. The third part of the trees was burned up, and all green grass. The second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. A third part of the sea became blood, and a third part of the creatures which were in the sea, which had life, died, and the third part of the ship were destroyed. See, when you say a third part of the ship destroyed, you know that means war. There's an atomic force taking place somewhere. And anything that's so powerful that can create such a combustion, such a force, that when it hits the waters, that it busts the fish open. And it just becomes blood. Everything in there turns into blood. Just literally burst them open from the great impact of the great thing that happened. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountain of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were bitter. You know, there's lots of stars in heaven, isn't that right? But at the time that the red dragon goes out, a third part of the stars fall. Have you remember not too long ago when we said that the thing represented Satan going out, and all of a sudden they had that great shower of stars that fell here not too long ago? You remember that? We said that that had to do with it. See, a star was shook slap out of the heavens. That atomic force is so terrific. God said in the days of Moses, I'm shaking the mountain. But then he spoke to Paul, said, I not only will shake the earth, but next time I'll shake the heavens. I'll shake the stars till they fall out of their sockets the next time. It's a war in heaven. It's a terrific war in heaven. See, and I say again, that indicates the church. There's a war that's going on in the church. And the stars are falling from their sockets. Wandering stars. The writer said, having a revelation, the writer looked at the church. And the writer said, these are wandering stars, he said, of whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Which means that people in the church are stars. And some of them are wormwood stars. Some of them are bitter stars. Some of them don't have any light. They're cold, but the thing is they reflect the light of others, and they reflect the heat of others. So that is the fire and the brimstone. When these great things begin to blow to pieces, the moon begins to blow to pieces, and those things are heated up coals from the powers of the sun and heated up particles from the bombing and all of the stuff that takes place, the brimstone that comes down upon the earth. They found out that when these things fall out in the desert, they leave big craters, and they're nothing but brimstone. When they get to them, they all burn out. So then these things that are falling are brimstone in that they are a constitution of rock and of nickel. You take those planets, a lot of the things that's out there in the elements, they're nothing but a constitution of rock and nickel. So then those things are brimstone when they heat up and burn out. How many of you understand what I'm saying? I remember when the Lord was speaking to me about that, I thought, the Bible speaks of the Nicolaitans. All coming out of the church, you know. That Nicolaitan doctrine, God putting it out. But it said, and a fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten. And a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. When the fourth angel sounded, we see the beautiful picture of Calvary. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. A third part of the sun smitten. A third part of the Godhead when we use the Trinity approach. A third part of the light. Speaking church-wise, spiritually now. A third part of the light smitten. So that a third part of it was dark. In the earth today, there are those evil ones. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. A third part of the sun. A third part of the moon. A third part of the stars. When you look at it, you see the Godhead so beautifully. You see how that it was smitten. A third part of it. Just like the Bible speaks of it. And the light shone not for a third part. The day shone not for a third part. And it's a true fact that even though you strive to understand, you strive to get in the light of God, but there's always a dark gap somewhere that comes back over you. There's always a dark cloud that comes back from time to time. And you can't fit it all together. You can't get a complete daylight. That's why we spoke of Joshua. When he came, he commanded the sun to stand still. And for the period of time that God commanded, not on the sun, but the moon, he commanded it to stand still that we might have that full time of daylight till the battle is finished. Only in Christ, Joshua having to do with Savior, only in the Savior does the sun stand still. Only in the Savior is the sun not smitten. Only in the Savior do we eat the full book. Amen. Only in the Savior do we have a full picture of it. Otherwise, the earth is divided up. The people are divided up. Jew, Catholic, Gentile, they're divided up sectionally speaking. They're divided up. Something is taking place and we can see it in the mind of God. But you can't see those things in college. You've got to see it in the mind of God. It's revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ. They've got to be revealed to you. And God will put them together for you. All right, now, I got down to this next place to say this. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. The last of the seven trumpets, they were the three woes. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven, and unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air was darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold. And their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth was as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots, of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath its name Apollyon. Now, if you notice, this is why that they named the spaceships the Apollyons. As they went up, and you count the amount of ships that went up, and you'll find out it is exactly what Satan was doing. The mind of Satan, one people called him a bad one. A bad one, said he's a bad one. But they used it as Abaddon. Abaddon. In the old-fashioned expression. And then the other was an Apollyon. An Apollyon. So then when we think of the Apollyons going up, though thou climbest up to heaven and makest thy nest among the stars, Satan, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. That's why the Skylab fell like it did. That's what it had to do with. One woe passed. This woe, I wish we had time tonight to just elaborate on each one of these things. It is really something. But anyway, here the smoke come out. We see the sun turning dark, which goes back to Calvary. Why did the sun turn dark, veiled itself as dark as sackcloth of hair? Because at the time of grace, when grace comes on mankind at Calvary, it also opens the bottomless pit. How do you understand what I'm saying? When that star falls from heaven, and Jesus had to go through that falling. Jesus had to be made sin to show the falling of that star, the one that had the keys. He came back and said, I've got the key to death and to hell. I've got the keys. Jesus had the keys to the kingdom. He gave it to Peter. Jesus had the keys to everything. But then we see the sun, black as sackcloth of hair, indicating that Jesus, who had been made sin, we see the sun veiling itself, the middle wall of partition coming between the great light, God the great light, and the human body, the great veil, the veil of death. The veil was over Moses, the same thing we brought out here one night. That coming in between, the veil of death, having to do with the middle wall of partition, the wall of iniquity, having to do with the commandments, Paul said, which relates back to the law coming in between, knowledge, understanding, killing, and that intellectual reasoning, that veil of death that Christ rent in twain at the resurrection. So then when it came over him, over the great light. Then we see that it was Satan being loose from the pit. We see that in the days of grace that the demons are loose, because it is in the days of grace that devils can have medical care. It is in the days of grace that devils can eat and drink and lust it up and have their frolics. It's in the days of grace that they can do this. For the rain is on the just and it's on the unjust. Therefore, a person that is an unjust person, a temple of Belial, a body that's a human body, that is of Satan, inside of that body, Satan can live. That body can come to church like Cain came into the presence of God. On the inside of that body, where the Bible said when the sons of God come to present themselves, Satan come also. This is how Lucifer got in the presence of God. In the days of grace, it takes blood life, the old red dragon. It takes humanity. It takes the sons of the devil, the angelic forces that's rejected in the presence of God. During the time that the blood is on the mercy seat, it means that they can go right into heaven. Not into the third heaven, but into the second heaven, where the church is at. The church is in the second heaven. See, I wish you had time to listen tonight. Can you stay a few more minutes? You know, when I get started on this, I kind of wish I hadn't got into it, in the sense that I don't know how to get it over to you, and I have to stop. And then we go through a month before you get to where I can get in the mind of God again. And it's just, it's such a... Anyway, when we think about the second heaven, see, we look at the Old Testament and we know that there's an outer court, inner court, then the holies of holies. And we know that the sons of Aaron could only go into the second court, which indicates the church. The veil still remained between the little 10 by 10, separating the 10 by 20 from the 10 by 10, the 10 by 20 being the holy place, but the 10 by 10 being the holy of holies, and the veil in between. So then that veil standing between the holy place and the holies of holies, it meant that the sons of Aaron could not go into where the ark was. They could not go in there, but they could come into the holy place. In the holy place, we see over here the seven candlesticks. In the holy place, we see the table with the shewbread, the little stack, six to a stack. Whereas, you know, that when we talk about it, from Calvary coming on over is the time of the priesthood. Look at the Catholic Church. That's a priesthood teaching. That's the sons of Aaron teaching. That's the church ages. During that time, the seven candlesticks, the seven church ages. During that time, the 12 apostolic leaders, the six little cakes to a stack. The 12 apostles, the teachings, the bread of life. The table, God's table, where he said you can't eat at the table of God and eat at the table of devils. And we see the light of God showing on it, which means that represents the 10 by 20, the holy place. That's why the Catholics are priests like they are. They can't help that. It's that type and shadow. It's the time of the holy place. But then when you get on over beyond that, and you get into this last thing when it comes to America, has to do with this last part of it. See, so many foreign people have longed to come into America, but they couldn't come into it. But look at the days of Roosevelt. Look how perfect it fit what God was doing. And at the time of the rent veil, and then after that, look how they could just immigrate and how they could come right on into the holies of holies, the middle wall of partition being broken down to where they could come right in. Why, today you can walk right through the White House. How have you ever walked through the White House? Well, I've walked right through the White House. I've walked right through the Capitol. I went up there, and I'm sure that many of you walked through the Capitol. I've walked through the Capitol, walked down in the tunnel, up under the Capitol. But I went over where the president lives in the White House and walked through the White House, all through it. Look at it. All through his living room, everywhere. See, how do you understand what I'm saying? See, in other words, from Calvary back this way, there is an outer courts. From Calvary over this way, there is an inner courts. And then beyond that, where the Catholics have to do it when Martin Luther comes in, there is a holy of holies That's why the last 2,000 years is divided into sectional things as just one 2,000 years. Whereas the first 4,000 years is separate as 2,000 and 2,000. Because the little 10 of 20, it's divided into two parts. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? I know you don't. Some of you do. But anyway, I'm just trying to make a point here. I don't know how to stop this till we get over here to what I'm trying to say. So the only thing I know to do is just keep talking till I get over to it. So then, I have to say these things to clarify what I'm saying in the Spirit, or you won't understand what I'm saying in the Spirit. Now, you can't work a formula. You know you can't tell what 2 and 2 is unless you got the formula 4 and 4. The Old Testament is that formula. I have to refer back to it. See, I refer back to the Old Testament as the formula, and then I have to pick it up in the New Testament to bring out what the Lord is trying to do with it, to bring out the revelation over here on the other end of it in the book of John. So it makes it real difficult, especially if we be carnal-minded, if we be a popcorn congregation. You know, that's why God can't speak to the congregation of today. God can't do it. Said Elijah, take 40 days. Go out telling her somewhere in a cave and stay 40 days. Moses, go out there and stay 80 days. I want to talk with you. And we say, Lord of God, I'm going over yonder for 40 minutes and he's going to give me that revelation. If he don't, I'm going to get up and go home because it's going to be dinner time. All right, so here we are, see, in the second realm. When Calvary took place, out of that come the locusts. Grace made way not only for you and I to be in the presence of God, but it made way for the devil himself to be in the presence of God. That's how that Satan got into the garden. That's how he deceived Eve. It's God through grace made way. Look at America. The biggest mistake, if you want to look at it naturally, that America ever made is when Roosevelt let the foreign nations come in here. We've been nothing but a confusion ever since. From the time God let Satan come in that garden, it wasn't nothing but confusion. It finally caused Adam and Eve to be put out of it. We've got nothing but a big mix-up since all of them come into it. But the days of grace had to bring that. See, it had to be a day of grace. As long as the blood of Jesus is on the atonement seat, it means blood life is in the second heaven. That means the woman is still carrying the child. She has got her foot on the moon because the second heaven is the moon. The third heaven has to do with the sun, under which no man can approach. And the first heaven relates back to the stars. Even though the moon and the stars is all the second heaven, because it has to do with the church. Because the earth has to do with the first one. But we have to use the stars, the sun, and the moon so that you'll know what we're saying. Because in heaven, they're all as angels. And angels are likened to stars because they're elevated. They're caught up. The woman was carrying the child. She was in the second realm. That's why the moon turned to blood. It shows the birth. When the red dragon goes out, it shows the blood that's leaving the body. The birth of the child. Then out of the blood, into the blood is the constitution of the water. Whereas Christ's blood, his water, his genetic, the water and the blood separated, scientists say, because of the suffering, showing the travail. Then the water, the Bible said that the dragon cast out of his mouth the flood of water, which of course was people that went out to try to destroy the woman. See, all of this, and then the child, which represented the spirit of the life, was called up to the throne. The three things that had to do with the birth. The woman being in the second realm, in the church. The woman, which is America, she's the one that's been in travail. She's the one that's been calling everything. She's the one that's been in the heavenly part. How do you understand what I'm saying? But you say, Brother Pine, but she's the holiest of holies. She is in your 1, 2, 3. When you look at your types. But brother, the holiest of holies is pointing on over to the millennium when you take it and put it in your spiritual perspective. And then when you run it over to your third powers, they say in school, then you take the millennium and you still just got your holy place and you run it into the great celestial world of New Jerusalem where the celestial come down, which is the holiest of holies. But run it into a dimensional thing is a first power to where you can understand what I'm saying. America gives you a type, a 1, 2, 3. You understand what I'm saying? So then the woman is in the second realm. There she is in the second heaven. How did Satan get up there? That blood life, Calvary. Out of this wall, we see the smoke coming up. We see Satan loosed because Christ Jesus is dying for the sins of the world. And mercy has come in. Grace has come in. And the devil is on a rampage. Sin is on a rampage. Gross darkness is covering the people. All of this bottomless pit thing. All of the smoke coming out. And getting between the light, the knowledge of God, the minister, the people. And taking them to the races and to the frolics of the world. And all of the evil doings that they're doing. See, in one woe, the Bible said, in one woe cometh. And look at the shape of the locust. Look at these running around here with this long hair. Why in the world all of a sudden? These men running around with the long hair like they're running around with. And all of these needles and pop-ups and all of these pills and all this other thing. Yet they are devouring, the Bible said, Satan like a devouring lion. Roaring and devouring. Locusts, when they were turned loose down in Egypt, they eat up every green thing. All of the life was eaten up. And these beatniks that come out of the bottomless pit, these devils and demons that's inhabited human bodies, has done away with all the decency of the earth. Everything is corrupted with those devils that came out of that pit through boys and girls and men and women. Now, see them things that bound back yonder, they couldn't get loose. But look at them today. They come out there and get right in the front of a store like they did down yonder in Centerville and stand in the front of the gas pumps and strip the clothes off and take a shower. Right there, devils and demons. Anyway, well, there's a lot we could say about it if we went on. But anyway, I know it relates back to the war. It relates back to the planes. It relates back to all of the machinery. It relates back to all of the guns and the tails of the planes and all of these things that we could go into. That these things have the dimensional touch. But I'm speaking spiritually. Of them things that has to do with the spiritual life. There was the torment men. Then it says, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. All right, then we spoke of appalling. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loose, which were bound for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard a number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jason and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three were the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouth, for their power is in their mouth. And in their tails, where their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver, and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of the saw of their sorceries, of their fornication, nor of their thefts. This is the sixth angel of the seven trumpets that sounding now. Why is it that this particular thing follows the locust? Look what has been over America. Look at the siege of the evil that has gone over her. The red dragon of China coming in. The locusts. These crazy bunch of youth. Look at this sinful, adulterous generation as it was in the days of Noah, eating and drinking. Look at the rebellion against mothers of children. Everything is just perfect with what God said would be at the end time. Earthquakes in the latter times. All of these things taking place. Everything is just perfect for it. And then it says here that they didn't repent of their sorceries and murders. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, when all of them locusts come out there and they start over the earth, boy, that's the end. But the Bible said after all of those devilish things, the people still committed fornication. The earth was still in progress. They were still building houses. They still had businesses. After all of those devilish things took place. And the Bible said they neither repented of their murders nor of their sorceries. All of their sorceries of worshiping the stars and astrologers and evil practices and all the things they're doing. They didn't repent of their fornication. And they didn't repent of their theft. Look at the banks stealing land today. Look at the low-down, degraded way that bankers are doing, and these great men, these great leaders are stealing from the public today. They got their paperwork, and they steal everything you've got, and they take it away from you because they put it down. If you don't pay me on such and such a day, you got bad credit. If you don't pay me on such and such a day, I'll take it away from you. God will take their heads off one day for it. He said in the millennium, they'll build and others won't inhabit. They'll plant vineyards and others won't take their fruits away from them. Someday God will get them for that kind of thing. Causing people to be under the heavy oppression and struggling and doing everything they can. And just about the time they get something just about paid for, they snatch it away from them. Or they impose some kind of taxes on them to rob them. Or they put some kind of penalty on them. Always taking something away from them. Always they repented none of their thefts. Now, look at this. It said, I saw these horsemen. Whereas these horsemen, the number of them, they answer to the armies of China, believe it or not. They answer to the armies of China. Amen. Which is just perfect for them to do what God said that they would do. Here, when he speaks of the river Euphrates and the angels, it was bound there. See, it's just perfect for that. And immediately following this, there is an intervention from heaven. Remember that. When the sixth trumpet sounded, there came a voice from heaven, and this angel came down out of heaven, down into the earth, and stood on the land and on the sea, and swore that everything was at an end, that it was gone as far as God would let it go. He was not in heaven, he was on the earth when he made his declaration. He had one foot on the land, he had one foot on the sea. He raised his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, that time should be no more. And about that time, the thunderhead started. All of these things taking place. All of these things taking place. And the woman with the foot on the moon, the thunderheads rolled, the lightning, the friction, the flashing, everything taking place. And out went the red dragon. Out he went. Remember, how many know that China was one time related to America, steadfast with America? But there was an excommunication. It still isn't right with them. Look at Jimmy. He still isn't at peace with China. He got upset because of what China went back and done. See, in the United Nations, it's confederated. I made the statement, the sovereignty of Washington, the holies of holies, the United States, the inner courts, the United Nations, the outer courts. And we spoke about the wars being fought in the outer court, the slaying of the beast. What it had to do with the casting out of the red dragon. See, if when this next seal, or when this next trumpet sounds, that's the end of it. Six of them is sounded. But the angel comes in and intervenes, and the angel of Revelation 10 says, John, don't write what the thunders are saying. These thunders utter their voices between that sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet. Said, don't do that, John. All these horrible things that took place. But don't do that. Don't write them down. Said, but just in a little while, that other voice is going to sound. Now, John, when this trumpet sounds, that's going to be the end of it. Now listen at it. And the seventh angel sounded, the 15th verse following, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Amen. And the four and the 20 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their face and worshiped God, saying, we give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power and hast reigned. Now listen to this. And the nations were angry. And the nations were angry. Brother, you can be sure that at the time that God brings this thing about, the nations are not going to be at peace with each other. They're going to be angry with each other. They're going to be a boiling in the pot. Everything's going to be spewing at that moment. But when they cry peace, then sudden destruction. And they're going to be angry. And Thy wrath is come. Now, what do you mean your wrath has come? When those nations begin to billow with anger, that's the wrath of God moving through mankind to destroy one another. Thy wrath is come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightning and voices and thundering and an earthquake and great hail. That is, the vesture of Jesus was rent, hanging there. The veil was rent in twain. The door was open in heaven. He said, and the ark of his testament was seen because God, the temple of God, was open in heaven. The body, the vesture of Jesus, the separation of the Lord and the Christ. He said, I saw it take place, and when I saw it take place, Jesus was the woman hanging at Calvary that had his foot on the moon. And I saw the travail of the church being born there for the church ages to come in. I saw it, but not to be comprehended until after the church ages, which was the thing that we're doing right now, which would show it as the revelation of Jesus Christ. Here he is with his foot on the moon. Remember the woman? The foot on the moon, that's the law. The stars upon her head, the 12 stars. Look at that woman that just come out on the coin. The 12 stars on the head, what was that? That was the 12 apostles, and the woman was clothed with the sun. What was that? It was the glory of God, the revelation of Christ. The great glory in heavy travail. There, the child to be born, which was the man-child. What is the man-child? It's the church. Why do you say that? Because we're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. That's the man-child, Jesus. The earth groaning, the bowels of the earth in travail. And when the birth pains happen, oh, the grave open up, and out come the saints of God. Out come Jesus Christ and his membership. Out come the resurrection. But it isn't accounted for until Revelation 19, because he goes away. And then in Revelation 19, it says it's the first resurrection, which is the coming just before the millennium. You understand what I'm saying? So then, immediately, the woman is seen with a child. The devil sets in through the church ages after the child. It's easy to see that. The old red dragon sets in after the child through the church ages. Done everything they could to kill him. Just killed him out. Wish we had time to go into it. But they killed him out. The devil wrapped his tail around the third part of the stars, cast him down to earth, trampled on him. That is the children of God, the sons of God, those that was in the church age, representing the sinful part of it, because the Jews were the sons of God. The Jews was the church in the wilderness. The Jews was the part that was carrying on the second dimension. And every bit of it happened as the old red dragon, the church, Rome, spilt her blood and trampled on them and done them the way she did through the church ages. But now we're in the spiritual perspective of it. Not the Old Testament, which happened to him back there. Not the second part of the New Testament. But the third part, which is the holiest of holies, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Entering into the mind of God itself, seeing the spiritual perspective of it. And here we are over in the mirror on the American side of it. Here we are. And what does it say? As quick as that child was caught up to the throne, which means to the third part of it. Going back to Martin Luther, caught on over. We brought out about Columbus in the tides. But here it is. We're trying to give it to you in the spiritual, what actually took place. Here it is. We're witnessing the redemption of our body, seeing what actually took place in the spirit. Immediately when this happened, it said here, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. There's your thunderheads bumping together. There they are. There's the friction. There's your problem again. There comes the friction. There comes the lightning. There comes the flashing. There comes the battle in heaven. There comes the seven thunders uttering their voices. How do you know that that's the seven thunders, Brother Pye? Because the Bible definitely, emphatically states that when the seventh angel sounds, said, seal it up, John, and when the seventh angel sounds, then the mystery of God shall be finished. Which he was saying, those seven thunders are part of the mystery of God, John. But right now, don't mess with that. Let's finish what we're doing right now. But when the seventh angel sounds, John, then that part will be finished. And the Bible said, and the seventh angel sounded, and I saw the woman with a foot on the moon, which brings America into the picture. And it said here, and Michael and the dragon fought. Said he fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. That's exactly why that George Jr. done what he done. That's why it came in like he did. Look at the belt buckle that we just gave him, the one that Jerry brought us from Alabama, with the eagle on it that says has to do with man of war on it. How do you remember that happening? Look at the way, the attitude that Junior's had. He's had that attitude that you hypocrite, you don't need to be here. He's right. He's exactly right. What is that? They give him a place on the campground. Over here to the new part. Caught up to heaven. The seven candlesticks. Caught up to the throne. He put his arms around me today and said, Daddy, I love you. But I still got to go do something. What is it? It's that same thing that he's pulling. Get a dodge and be devilish. How many of you ever heard of that? The old red dragon, the little trailer, the red dodge. Taking it out, going away with it. How do you understand what I'm saying? I know some of you don't see what I'm talking about. But anyway, at that time, the accuser of the brethren had to go out. Look at the war that Brother Michael had, Brother Michael Bradley over here had, with the man down here that's been accusing the brethren continually. Look at the thing. Look at Sister Linda's vision, where Brother Branham came and missed of us. And then when God began to move, he rode out on a bicycle. I don't know whether you know what I'm saying or not.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God.
The foolish, abased things of the world to confound the wise, but yet God's great spirit in the earth doing something. But listen, here's what I'm trying to get to. And I'm going to close in just a little bit now, if you'll hold on. I just had to scramble this up like eggs to try to push through when I really wish we'd have had all night to preach a sermon on. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven. Now, see, Lucifer was cast out of heaven. See, the days of grace was over. How do you see what I'm saying? At Calvary, there was grace, which means that anybody can live like the devil and be in the presence of God. The rain is on the just and the unjust. The blood life is still there. Life from God is caught in the blood. For the life is in the blood. And the red dragon has got that life from God in bondage like a rat, a parasite. Got it in bondage and in the presence of God in the days of grace. Because the blood is on the atonement seat. But it said here, the red dragon went out. Why is the red dragon going out? Because in the fourth chapter, back over there you read where in the church is raptured, that angel reached over, got that censer, reached and got that coal. Wish we had time to go into that. Put it into that censer. Slung that censer into the earth. And the Bible said before these trumpets started sounding, there was lightnings and thunderings and earthquakes, which meant the bumming and all these things that took place. See, and the blood coming off the mercy seat, the battle in heaven, the blood life can't stay there in the presence of God anymore. See, the tribulation period comes in. Satan personifies himself in blood life, and he goes down. The spirit, the angel of Satan, Lucifer, has to make himself a human body. And he goes down through that 7 years, he gets in a human body. And he has to rule his people from the earth. He can't be in the places of the Spirit anymore. Between heaven and earth, being the ruler over the powers that's in the air to interfere with my prayers as it was with Daniel's and Daniel's as he prayed to God. There won't be that war in here anymore between them thunderheads anymore that had to do with the sound of them thunders. There won't be any more war up there in heaven. Won't be any more thunders uttering their voices in heaven. Because Lucifer won't be there anymore. It won't be the battle between the good angels and the bad angels as it was in the days of Daniel. When Daniel called from the earth and called to heaven, and the good angels come down to answer. And when the message started coming down from heaven to Daniel, here Lucifer run in and intercepted, and the angels of God on the front over here met them in a clash right here, and they had that war between heaven and earth and wrestled till they could take the message down to Daniel. See, there won't be any more war to heaven. Won't be any more thundering. Won't be any more lightning. Won't be any more turmoil and trouble. Because the elements will be cleaned out. Jesus Christ's throne will be between heaven and earth. The second heaven then will be the Son of God, which has to do with the millennium. The millennium is the second heaven. This right here is the church age. America, the first heaven. This is that outer court here. And here where the church is, where this earth is going to be inhabited according to the Bible. And here it is when Jesus sits on the throne to rule 1,000 years till all things are put under him. And then the great celestial, which is the third heaven, coming in, swallows up everything and translates it into the celestial. Then the Ancient of Days, which is the third heaven, God, the great Spirit, the place where no man's ever entered into, that which Satan has never been into. See, now Satan will get into the millennium. How many of you know that? And at the end of the millennium, up comes the devil, up comes from that bottomless pit, up comes the people from the graves. The graves are still here. It's the same earth. The graves are still here. The graves ain't never give up their dead. Only the dead in Christ has risen. But the second death, the second resurrection, that which is the second death over that we've already overcome through the blood, that's at the end of the millennium. Then the graves give up the dead. Then the seas are still here. They give up their dead. Well, the millennium is just this earth out here. Then Lucifer comes up in that second heaven out there. Then fire comes down from heaven. And fire does away with him altogether out there. That's the end of death, because hell and death and all of it is cast in the lake of fire. Satan's not bound for 1,000 years in. But he's loose from that 1,000 years and thrown into the lake of fire. So it's obvious right here that when it says Satan is cast out right here, it's speaking of that time of the tribulation. Just at the tribulation period, when the church is caught up, the blood comes off the mercy seat, Satan is personified, has to rule down here. It ends that up here. That means that the thunders won't be uttering their voices anymore. That's why when the seventh angel sounds, the thunders are finished. The thunders are made known when the seventh angel sounds, because it is the finishing of the mystery of the kingdom of God and of godliness, the understanding of God. Then when the seventh angel sounded, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world have become the kingdom of our God. That means that if John had made known the seven thunders before the time, then the kingdom of God would automatically become God's kingdom before the time was. But it's obvious that at the time that the seventh angel sounds, that sounding does not pertain to the earthly part of it. That sounding pertains to that middle part of here. Because John immediately, when that trumpet sounds, it don't say anything about the earth. It don't say anything about the bottomless pit. It don't say anything about the locusts coming out. And he looks away this way when that angel sounds. And he says up here when that angel sounds, he said, and I looked, and in heaven I saw a wonder. I saw a wonder in heaven. He's looking toward the church. What is the wonder in heaven? It's the church. What is it? Bringing forth a child. What is it in the natural? It's America, the woman nation. What is it? It says here, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, when Satan is cast out now, remember the voice, the angel sounds. When the angel sounds, the voice said, now the kingdoms of this world is the kingdom of God. Why? Because war started in heaven. Amen. Lucifer is cast out. The woman has birthed the child. What caused Lucifer to be cast out? What caused the war to be over in heaven? What caused the kingdoms of this world to become the kingdoms of God? That man-child, when he went up, he put Lucifer out. Brothers and sisters, when Jesus hung at Calvary, he said, I beheld Satan, his lightning fall from heaven. That was the revelation of Jesus there. For he put Lucifer out and said, I've destroyed him that hath power over death. And today, you are in heaven today. Rejoice, you that are in heaven. We say we're waiting for a rapture. We're waiting to come into the knowledge to with the redemption of our body. Faith, the understanding, the message. Because it is a dimensional translating by faith in the understanding of the revealed knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. We're translating. That's how Jesus walked through a wall. When he was a human being, walked through a wall and said, I'm flesh and blood. But he had another mind, and he walked through the same wall that they could not walk through. Yet they were flesh and blood just like he was flesh and blood. What was it? I said, well, it wasn't flesh and blood. He was flesh and bones. That's true. Because the blood part indicated that the dragon was gone out. But he was flesh and blood in the sense that that was his blood that was on the atonement seat up there. That's why he didn't have any blood when he come out of there. His blood was on the atonement seat. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? So then, it is a true fact. It is a true fact that we have royal blood flowing through our veins. And it is a true fact that we are of spirit, not of blood. He that is made a living soul is made a living blood. But we that are made a quickening spirit, we're not made of living blood. So then, when the last angel sounded, the Bible said, now this world belongs to God. The days of the Gentiles are over. It's finished and it's gone. And then the war started in heaven, and the great lightning and the thunderings, and the earth went into a convulsion. John said, I saw the mountains moved out of their places. And so it was that when this happened, that Lucifer went out, a personification. The beast regime came in. The great computer system began to take over. And then the voice from heaven began to cry out. Now has come salvation. Why does it say, now has come salvation? Because the church had been raptured. The church of the living God had been raptured. And that child that was due to come to the throne in the natural was Israel. That was to come up there to rule with a rod of iron in the nations. And that man-child, the head, Jesus Christ, to set down on this earth the throne of David, just as quick as Satan was bound in Revelation 19 when the blood would run up to the horse's bridle to put him away. Then the kingdom of God said, now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of the testimony. They loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. What does he mean? It says then the dragon persecuted the woman, which has to do with Israel, which indicated the one that gave birth to this great spiritual thing when God left the Jews to come to the Gentiles to get that man child. Was here, and the testimony made war against them that keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. What does it mean right here when it says, now has come salvation, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb? And it says here, now the devil's come down to them that's inhabiting the body. He knoweth that he's got but 3 years and a half, that is a short time. Rejoice ye that in heaven, that is us, that is in the church. And it says here, they loved not their lives unto the death. The accuser of our brethren is cast down. The kingdom, now has come the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Christ. What is he talking about? He's saying that now there is a God government in the earth. God's got a government in the earth. Satan doesn't have a government in the earth anymore. The days of the intellectual government of democracy and all of these other governments is gone. Gone for good. But God's government is in the earth. God will set it up in a millennium. And God's strength has come. God's government has come. God's salvation has come. God's people are rejoicing. They that are in heaven. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, if you're in the millennium, you're in the earth. I'm right here, but I'm in heaven, Jesus said. Don't you know that the millennium is heaven? You just got to know which heaven you're talking about, which heaven you're in. Something is taking place. What is that? Those thunders. When that seventh angel sounded and those thunders started, they uttered their voice. And what is the uttering of that voice? It's the entire book finished in the book of Revelation. From the time that seventh angel sounded, it goes right on over to the vials. It goes right on over to the supper. It goes right on over to the harvest of the earth. It goes right on over to the great whore being cast down. It goes right on over to the millennium. It goes right on over to the great, wonderful jubilee of God. It goes right on over to the great, wonderful jewels of heaven, the great city of New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, setting down on the new earth. That is the finishing of the mysteries of God. The whole thing from the time he sounds, it just goes on and on and on. And it finishes up with that great city sitting down on the earth and the kings coming in, throwing their crowns down his feet. Oh, but let me tell you, there's just so much we'd like to say tonight concerning those thunders and concerning the things of God. But the thunders uttered their voices, and the seven thunders uttered their voices, having to do with the birth of the man-child, the church. Having to do with the kingdoms of God becoming the kingdoms of the kings of this world, becoming the kings of our God. Having to do with the personification of Lucifer becoming a beast.
I want you to stand with me. There's just so many things that we'd like to say tonight. And we've hustled, pushed, puffed, and done everything we could here just to get over what little that I feel we got over. Because I feel that we had to push and shove so hard here that we didn't nothing like get into the message like we needed to get into it. But I don't know how to do it. I just don't know how to do it. I just have to, as far as being in the message, I'm in the message of God, got the message of God in my heart, preach it, try to get it over to you, but being able to get it over to you in such a short term of speech from time to time, all broken up, is just almost impossible. He said, well, Brother Pike, if it had been impossible, why did God ordain the preachers to go into earth and do all of this? It must have been possible. He wouldn't have done it. He had to preach the gospel. To preach the gospel. It don't take all that long to preach a repentant message. I'm talking about the mysteries of God. The Bible didn't say that the minister was preaching the mysteries of God. He said the angel sounded and the mysteries was finished. Paul said, I'm a steward of the mysteries. So, well, there he was, a preacher, not a popcorn sermon all night long.
Praise God.
Somebody said, well, the ministry. Brother Branham said, the first angel. Well, whatever. There is a wonderful thing that's taking place. It is so beautiful, so wonderful. I love you. I'm not scolding you to make you feel like a bunch of morons that I'm some in great intelligence. I'm not. I'm just telling you that we can't have this restless, roaming, want to get home sort of a thing and ever make the rapture. Because the translation is by faith, and faith is by the hearing of a word. By understanding, that's the way Enoch escaped death. I know that some of you are very patient. You'd stay here all night long. I know you would. And tonight I have to say that through all of it, just about everybody here has been patient. They've been patient, trying to listen, trying to understand. But during all that period of time, I knew that that patience would run out. And I had to just kind of scramble it up like eggs to push. Whereas if I'd have known that I'd had this long and a little longer to take them a time and really driven in and you sit and listen, and we could have just took our time and cataloged it and put it on tape, we could have went back and listened at it and got it down and understood it. Why? The days of the Gentiles being over. The days of the Gentiles being over. You say, what does that spell to us? When you say the days of the Gentiles being over, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? I'm speaking of the days of grace being gone. The days of grace. When the blood comes off the mercy seat, that means the days of grace are gone. When the days of grace is gone, that means the days of the Gentiles are finished. The Bible don't refer to it as the days of a Gentile. It refers to it as the times of the Gentiles. When the prophet spoke of it, he spoke of it as the times of the Gentiles. And the times of the Gentiles sets in at Pentecost. At Calvary, when God rejects the Jews, then the church ages comes in, which is the times of the Gentiles. But when the church ages are finished, the times of the Gentiles are finished. And the Jews come back in. That's why that peace treaty is being signed. And when they come back in, that means the end of you folks that are Gentiles. Not the end of us folks that are sons and daughters of God. We have no end. We're from everlasting to everlasting. Before the world ever was, we are. So then, but those that was not creations in the mind of God as eternal creation before the world ever was certainly will not be when the world is not. But that which came in with the world will go out with the world. And that that be of the world shall perish with the world. But you're not of the world, therefore you cannot perish with the world. You're God's. Though you die like men, you're subjected to the death of men. Jesus was God, but he's subjected to the death of a man. But he said it was because of the lack of knowledge. He did it not because of the lack of knowledge, but for you. Because he walked right on into the glory world and stood on the Mount of Transfiguration in glory with Moses and Elijah, showing that the way of death is not the way to heaven. Having conquered death. But we, from the lack of knowledge, we won't listen. We won't take time to sit down. We won't take time to get the revelation. We won't take time. We're too important. We're important, folks. We're too important. Well, we done heard what you got to say and what you said yesterday, and now, Brother Pike, we're important. We're bubbling over. We're waiting for the next go-round. You know, we're important. We can do all of this and do all the things we wanted to, too. While we can dilly-dally around in the world and hear everything you got to say, we still, you know, we're important. All you foolish, that's what it is. You just think you got it. You think you got it. You think you understand. You think you know. But your attitude proves that you're reprobates. You're reprobates. The very fact that you hunger and thirst after the things of the world proves that you're a reprobate. Let's sing a little chorus together. My dear brother and sister, when you get in God, you don't have no more hunger for the world. You don't have no more thirst for the world. The Bible said they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the lust and the affections thereof. They don't have any lust and affections of the things of the world. The fact that you've got lust for the world and affection of the world, whereas the Bible said, know ye not that the spirit within you lusteth unto envy, proves that you're a reprobate. Why should I hunger and thirst for the things of the world? I'm not of the world. My appetite is not of the world. My desire is not of the world. My desire is of God. My appetite is of God. My thirst is of God. He that hungers and thirsts after the things of God shall be filled. To be spiritually minded is life. To be carnally minded is to be a reprobate. To be abiding death. Paul said, why turn you again to the beggarly elements of the world? Do you desire again to be under the law? For if you be not born of grace, then are you under the law. If you're under the law, then you're under bondage to the tradition of the elders. All that are under the law have fallen from grace. Do you desire again to be under bondage to the law? To the beggarly elements of the world? We're dead to the law by the body of Jesus Christ. Therefore we should glorify Christ in our mortal bodies. Let not sin reign in your mortal bodies to obey the lust thereof. Let's sing a little chorus, can we? You haven't got by God. There's a brother standing here now. I'm not puffed up, brother. I'm not puffed up. You're puffed up. That's why you think like you do. The very fact I know what you're thinking proves that you're the one that's puffed up, and I'm not puffed up. The Lord wouldn't let me know what you think. And you're not important. You just think you're important. You haven't got it figured out. You just think you got it figured out. You could be a great brother. You could do great things for God. But unless you get off of that, you won't never do nothing for God. You quit feeling important. The Bible said, condescend to men of a low estate. We get down to men of low estate. Condescend to men of low estate. Then we can do something for God. I made this statement today. I automatically know where a man's able to handle a situation or not when I meet him. It takes me just a few minutes. I automatically know. If I pick up his spirit, and when I pick up his spirit testifies that he's able or feels like he can handle the situation, it counsels it out right there. It automatically counsels it out. I know that he's a reprobate. I know he can't do it. I know he can't. Because he's limited. He's a man. But if I talk to a man, I pick up his spirit, and in that man's spirit, I pick up that man feels, God, I can't do this. Lord, help me. I know that I can do it through Christ. I know I can do it if you'll help me. That man will get the job done because that man has the ability. That ability is Christ. He hath that ability. Through Christ that strengthens me, through my ability, Christ Jesus, I can do all things. Let's not be dwarfed by our own ambitions, own intelligence. So, well, Brother Pike, you preached a long time. You need to let us go. I'm not holding you. You're not under bondage. You could have left a long time ago. I haven't preached near long enough. This sermon tonight should have had at least about 4 or 5 hours. At least that long. I just had to hurry and run and push and shove. Because I love you so much, I do that.
trying my best to get it over to you.
Let's sing a chorus.
I love you. That is, that when we read the book of Revelation and we hear the message preached, and we talk about angels sounding in heaven, you've got to understand that the church is in heaven, and that voices can be sounding that you don't know nothing about. And the Bible says, rejoice, ye that dwell in heaven. And when you say an angel sounded in heaven, you need to know what's being said, and you need to know where heaven's at. Jesus said, the Son of Man which is in heaven. Had the Son of Man not been in heaven, we couldn't talk about Revelation 10 tonight in comparison with the Son of God. See, but when the Bible speaks of all these things taking place, we need to know what the Lord is saying. When we speak of Lucifer being in heaven, we need to understand where heaven is at, who Lucifer is, and where his habitation is. You can be sure that up there above your head, there ain't no big red dragon laying around up there. And you can be sure that up there above your head, there ain't no woman standing up there fixing to give life to a child. You can be sure that up here above your head, that there Michael is not up there with a great red dragon fixing to catch him by the tail and sling him out of heaven. Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals, but seeing that you're babes in Christ, I cannot. Whereas there's envy and strife, malice, thirst for the things of the world. We need to be spiritual. We need to understand. We need to really desire. Because before the living God, you can hear and hear and hear again. And when you get through, every bit of it will be cataloged in your natural content, in your natural catalog. And you'll miss the context of the Holy Scriptures altogether. You'll miss the revelation altogether. Twins are born in every meeting. One of them gets an intellectual concept of brilliance. Another gets the revelation of spiritual life. My words are spirit, but you also know His word is a printed page. One gets an intellectual knowledge.
a thought pattern, another gets a revelation. One gets an education, one gets a revelation. Cain gets an education, Esau gets an education. Jacob and Abel, Seth, they get a revelation. When the word is spirit, it is life, it is revelation, it is quickening, it is transformating power. When it is education, it is wrath, it is law, it is judgment, it is death, it is a knowledge. But the twins continue to be born. They continue to be born. Those without revelation are without light. Those with knowledge are darkness, wandering stars who have no light, they're just religious reflectors, for whom the mist of darkness, that is the bottomless pit of ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth, the bottomless pit is waiting, for whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. They will fall from heaven. They will fall. They will fall. When the days of grace is over, they will fall. I said the lights would be well on their way out by 70. I said the great men will fall. Before Cohotec, about 9 months before it, 9 months following, 10 of the major leaders of the common market of the United States, Nixon being one of them, they either went down in shame or died. Great leaders like Brother Branham, Jack Cole, Billy Graham, the book of how Billy Graham sold out for politics, they're writing a story on it. All those great men, they went out. I said that God would deal with T.L. Osborne, but his ministry was over. Long time ago, I said it. The storm hit. T.L. Osborne turned and began to get more worldly and more worldly. Daisy, his wife, I just read the article the other day. The article is just about Daisy all the way through. Maybe one picture, Brother Osborne. Daisy, who was a very precious woman, a holy, clean, upright woman, maybe still a good, clean woman, I don't know. But with lipstick on, rouge on, bobbed hair, earrings hanging in her ear, her heading in her booklet saying, "Should we obey Christ or should we obey Paul?" Telling the women how that they ought to get out and preach. Trying to stir the women up with a heading up saying the church's first woman or new woman or whatever it was. See, the lights have gone out. They've gone out. Where are we at? Gross darkness has covered the people. They're in darkness. They're in darkness. The stars have fallen from heaven. That's why you see all these people doing that. What is it? Reflectors. Why didn't Daisy? Why didn't Brother T.L.? Why didn't they come on over to Jesus' name? Why didn't they? They backed up on God. Their lights went out. See? Why didn't these other ministers come on over? Why didn't Billy Graham come on over to the Word? You tell me that Billy Graham don't know that Jesus' name baptism's in there, as great a scholar as he is. Oral Roberts, why didn't he come on over to baptism in Jesus' name? See, the stars are falling from heaven. They've been reflectors. Gross darkness is covering the people. Our light's going out. The blood's coming off the atonement seat. Look at the assemblies of God. Their light's going out. Look at the church of God. Their light's going out. Look at them, brethren. Take a look at them. Their light's gone out. What's happened? The Shekinah that was over Adam and Eve is lifted. It's lifted. That's what it is. Their lights are gone out. I know there's some people in the assemblies, the Church of God. I know they've got light. Even the UPC's light's gone out. People that are acquainted with Jesus' name baptism. Though there's people in there that's really baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Spirit. But as a denomination, their light has gone out. They're worldly. All of them's turned worldly. The beast has taken over. They all wandered after the flesh. They wandered after the powder and the paint. They wandered after the frolics. They wandered after the drink. All their labor for their tummies, for their bellies. All the convenience of the world. The lights has gone out. The beast has taken over. The stars have fallen from heaven. They can't hide it any longer. It's showing up on them. Their passions, their desires. It's showing up. They can't keep it hid any longer. It's showing up. Let's just slip our hands up and worship the Lord for just a few minutes as our brother Taylor comes to dismiss us. I want to thank you for your kindness tonight, for paying attention. I hope you can understand the things that we're saying. I hope you can see. I hope you can be spiritual. May this be a spiritual house. May this be a spiritual church. May this be a spiritual people. May we not be a bunch of jumping, running, hollering people. That when an evangelist comes in, it's just a jump and holler and run, that we just get carried away. Nothing wrong with jumping, hollering and running and playing and worshiping God when the Spirit comes down. But that's for the children. We can't go back out to playing with the children. We're supposed to. The Bible says the meat is for the strong. They, by reasoning, exercise their senses. We're supposed to be laying up as parents. The days of the children are over. It's over. When the serpent started to bite them, all the jumping and the running and by Miriam's temporal was over. It took a revelation from the mount that smoke would burn with fire to do any good. That was the brazen serpent. People are being bit by the serpent. Sicknesses, sorrow, heartaches, woes, no joy in the church. It's going to take something, folks. We're going to have to look to Calvary. Got to have something to pull us out. Something to pull us out. They sang that song, Jesus, take a hand and lead us out. Jesus, take a hand and lead us out.